Welcome to the Lavo Show podcast. Conversations with outstanding human beings whose love has been inspired and transformed by Osho. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and thanks for tuning in. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Mavit Upadhyay. Upadhyay took sannyas in 1980 and has over 30 years experience in energy work. Upadhyay is the co-creator of the Osho Prana Healing Method, and she travels all over the world to offer workshops, trainings, and courses. I'm so happy to have Upadhyay on the show, and I hope you enjoyed. Upadhyay, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, Swaram. Fine. Very beautiful. Here in Italy right now, the sun is shining, and I'm overlooking the beauty of Tuscany, so very nice.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, to start, tell us a bit about how you came across Osho.
So, I was 22 years old and I felt uneasy with what society was presenting to me. I tried to study, to work, but something was unsatisfied inside. And I came across a book of him, the Book of the Secret. And I read it with some friends in Italy. And then at a certain point, I decided to go to India. But I was thinking that I was just doing a travel around India, just in search of something. But I didn't really know what I was searching for. And then what happened was that as I arrived in Goa, I stayed like not even 1 month between Goa and Hampi. And then suddenly I flashed that I really had to go to Pune to see him before the end of the 6 month. And then when I arrived in the ashram, when I arrived in Pune, and I sat with him, and something happened, and I just felt home. And that was the very first time in my life that I felt home.
Okay, so after you met Osho and you felt at home, did you stay in the commune and live with Osho? Or you were kind of traveling up and down the West and going back to India?
So the first 6 months, I was there. And then after 6 months, I asked him because in these 6 months, I was doing groups. I took sannyas. I was living in Pune. And then at a certain point, I felt something was calling me to Italy, but I didn't understand what was. And so I asked him a question about it. And at that time, he actually was telling to everyone to stay in Pune and not to stay in the ashram and not to go back to our hometown. But to me, he said, no, just exactly. He said, go and take care of things there. And I was very puzzled because I didn't really feel that I had to take care of things there. But, you know, the master was saying that. So I just follow his instruction. And I arrived in Italy, and after a while, I discovered that my body was not doing well, and I went to the hospital, and they took care of my liver that had a dysfunction. And after a couple of months, my father went very sick, and he had a cancer. And then what happened was that I was with him for 3 months, in the hospital, and then I was there in the moment that he left his body. And I felt that somehow, in a very mysterious way, the master oversaw all this and took me by the hand to be there.
Wow, that's, as you said, very mysterious. You know, we can speculate, but I hear this kind of story so many times that it's almost impossible not to notice this kind of coincidences when it comes to our show. Okay, so let's jump a little bit forward. In the last 30 years or so, you have been traveling a lot around the world and you have worked with people on a deep energetic and emotional level. And in doing so, you developed a certain sensitivity to pick up vibes in different places. And I heard you talking about collective unconscious of different nations. Can you explain what is collective unconscious in your experience?
I mean, collective conscious, I mean, Jung talk about it. He's the one that discovered it. I'm just looking at it from a point of view of energetic consistency. And I am realizing more and more that depending in which situation, which place in the world you are, there are different vibration that comes from collective unconscious. Collective unconscious is the energy, the mind energy, and the belief system energy of the place where we actually land.
Okay, so what would you say was the collective unconscious in the commune with Osho when you were there?
I was with Osho in Punawan. Then I was with Osho in Oregon. I lived there for 3 years. And then I was in Pune again when we went back to Pune. I went before and after Osho left the body. So, you know, first of all, the vibration of an enlightened being is quite amazing. There is something that get created around that is a very expanded atmosphere where things have a possibility to float in space.
Let's jump to a different topic. And in your own personal work of introspection, you notice that certain thought patterns have a particular sound attached to them. So you developed a method to investigate the relationship between mind and sound. I found this really fascinating. So I'd love to hear more. Can you talk more about that, about the relationship between mind and sound?
You see, sound beat has an energy, very strong energy impact on us. And when we repeat a thought that is repeated in the mind has really a strong outcome in our energy system. And it actually creates a pattern of energy on our aura. Like right now I need to take a moment to explain the fact that, you know, I look, and I mean, it's something that which Osho talks about, is not that we are just the physical body that we see. We are much more than that. There is an energy body that is within and around us that is actually more what we are than the physical body in itself. And in my work with energy, I discover how this belief system that we have created by thought form that repeat themselves, they actually create a pattern that is almost physical, that you can almost touch in the energetic body. And this is what creates our behavior. So we are behaving according to a certain kind of belief system. Now, this belief system is coming from a sound, you know, our mother or our father or our teacher or our friends or, you know, the television talking about something. And something there we got caught into and we made it like what we think is who we are. And that in itself create a pattern. So through a different sound, so through understanding, first of all, we need to have an understanding that we have that pattern, and actually that is a pattern, that is a belief system, and we need to have the space to recognize that that's not who we are. And then once that we understand that, then through energy work, so through the emanation of a certain kind of ray of energy, through the understanding and through the sound of a disrupting sound, that belief system can be having a moment of break so that the person is not going to be into the belief system anymore. So that from that point on can use a tool so that the awareness irradiates instead in the moment that usually the belief system takes action in their life.
In my personal experience, just lately, I started to practice chakra sound in the morning and Nada Brahma in the evening. So I feel very much pulled towards these two techniques, and both techniques have to do with sounds, and something is happening, you know, that there is a shift in the thoughts. That's why when I read that you were working on this relationship between thoughts and sounds, I got really excited, because, you know, that's what is happening to me. The chain of thoughts is really loosening up. In your work, what kind of sounds do you use to help people break those mind patterns?
Oh, it depends. You know, they can be very high sound. They can be disrupting, very, you know, sounds that are uneasy to hear. Or they can be also sounds that are uplifting. It depends from which kind of belief system I get in touch with. By the way, you know, I really love the chakra sound, but I actually do the Sufi chakra sound breathing. I did it for 3 months in a row. And I think that was in some ways the beginning of the work on sounds that I'm doing right now. And this work on sounds, it came to me when I was in White Robe. Suddenly, there was a realization of how I could help the detachment from belief system through sound. But it's not like a detachment, like you are talking about detachment from thoughts. It's like, you know, in the life of a meditator, there are more and more moments where you realize that there are thoughts. And so in that way, there is a place where in the moment that you realize there are thoughts, you are not the thoughts. But this on the belief system is really noticed, because some thoughts are just coming and going. But there are some thoughts that are really what we think we are. And let's say we think we are unworthy because somebody told us since we were kids, our mom or our brother or sister or our dad told us that we were unworthy. And then, you know, that really sinks inside and it gets into being like a pattern. And then we act according to that. And then at a certain point, once we realize, oh, actually, it's not that I am unworthy. It's just that I have this and it's not coming from me, it's just coming from somewhere else. It's not even, doesn't really even matter to understand from where and from which situation it comes from. But then in that moment that there is the realization, oh, actually, this is not really who am I. I'm still behaving out of it, but it's not who I am. And then at that point, this work with sounds and energy together can be a really good support for a deeper detachment from it.
So if I understand correctly, when you work with people, you somehow identify what kind of belief system and mind patterns are, you know, related to a particular person, and then you come up with sounds to help that. Is that what you do?
Yes, exactly. You see, it's like my work with energy reached a point where, you know, at the beginning, I was just using energy to, you know, just like thinking that just the energy in itself was what was needed just to heal people, heal on different layers, different levels. And then, you know, being in the light of Osho and just continuing my exploration within, I understood that, you know, without the understanding of the person, nothing can really happen. Because, you know, the person can have a good release, let's say like emotional release, they can have a good release, or they can feel better because they receive a nice healing session. But then if there is not the understanding, a deep understanding, that actually behaving in that way or believing to this thought form is creating pain in my life, until I have a deep understanding of that. I am not ready to let go of it. So I change the way that I work. And first, I invite the people to clarify and get in touch with actually more understanding about their patterns. And then the healing can go really deep. And then the healing is becoming a bridge to presence. Because you see, it's like, to me, presence is the only real, let's call it, medicine that there is.
Okay, so you are the co-creator of the Osho Prana Healing under the guidance of Osho. Can you tell us what is the Osho Prana Healing? And also, I'd love to hear how and if Osho guided you specifically in creating this method.
Okay, so I start first from the fact that Osho Prana Healing is a method that is a bridge between the pranopratic of the West and the system, the Indian system, the way of looking at the subtle energy of the Indian way that is through the seven chakra and the seven broad body. And it is opening to becoming a channel of energy through a certain kind of ray that is called actually prana. And that's what I bring in the OPH training, is opening to a mystery that is the mystery of becoming empty and to be just allowing the energy to come through you. You know, OPH gives you the possibility to get into the presence of life energy moving through us in the moment, and that brings presence. And through that, a big expansion can occur within and through the interaction with others, because then there is the possibility to receive more also the energy of the other. Very often we are in separation, or very often we have a tendency of just thinking that we have to protect ourselves from the energy of others. And this method is created just to break this belief system and give the possibility to relax into your own energy and into the energy that is coming from the other, and opening to the oneness that can happen through that. I personally asked to Osho if it was okay for me to work with that, because I was very young. I was 24. I was with Chit Vilas, that is the co-creator, and I asked him, is it okay if I work with it? And he gave me his blessing. And we asked him different questions, like how to use certain kind of tools for cleaning the spaces. And we asked him also how the energy was running through the body, and he answered to us to these questions. He didn't direct exactly the training, you know, he was not doing that, but he knew that we were working on that, and he gave us his blessing for it. Then I have to say that much of what I do is also, it has to do with what he said about subtle healing and about chakras.
So I understand that you created this method a long time ago, and you were asking Osho personal questions on some different aspects, and he would, you know, reply, and that helped you shape the method. I'm curious to hear if you modified the method from that time to today, or perhaps better to say, if you noticed a difference in the people who were coming to your groups in the 80s, 90s compared to 2000 and 2018, and if you had to adjust a little bit in relation to the people who are coming today, perhaps with different issues.
Yes, it's really changed, but I put it also in another way, you know, something changed within me. It's like what I was teaching, actually is more than 30 years, 35 years ago, was coming from a certain kind of understanding. And now the understanding that is there now is very different from that time. The society that we are in right now is very different from the one of 40 years ago. And also many different things came to me. And so the basic of the basic of what I teach is that, but many different and new things happen through the interaction with the people that are coming to the groups and with just the things that comes to me while I work. Like I created a new exploration. One is what you were mentioning, that is a master on healing sounds and color that I actually teach with an Orosoma teacher that comes for 3 days, that is Talasi. And then to bring the colors in. And then I created a process on accessing to memory of when we were in the womb, and I did it on the three brains according to Osho and Gurdjieff's way of looking at, that is the navel, the heart, and the third eye. That is an amazing process.
Yeah, sounds really interesting. And I'd love to pinpoint what changed in you. You mentioned that obviously your understanding changed from 40 years ago to today, and also that society has changed. So if you can give a little bit more specific examples of the changes within you and within people who come to you.
Well, the change within me, I just can say that I am less. You see, it's like there was much more being identified with the goodwill or wanting more, being more identified with desires, thinking that this is the only method. You know, that was, I could notice all this mind frame coming in me 30 or 35 years ago. And now I can notice that there is less that. And actually all what is more and more what I would like to transfer to people is the possibility to awaken in the moment, the possibility to just be. So that really changed the way that I teach. I teach a technique, and then in the meantime, there is something else that really wants to come through. And people are noticing that more and more, and people are responding to that more and more. And I can see like people transforming their lives through this method. They really have better relationship. They can have an easier time in their job. They are bringing that, you know, in China, for instance, I have people that have 1,000 people under them. And they are working and they are the boss of 1,000 people. And they come, and then what's happening is that they are transforming the way that they behave with these 1,000 people. And that is a beautiful impact, because it's like a love and awareness is more there, and the people are more flowing with what is happening. On the other side, what I can see in the world at large is that right now we are in a moment that is very, very particular. It's like the humanity can go into self-destruction or can open up to a different dimension. And in some ways, some people are really looking for this different dimension much more than when we were looking for it. You know, I come from the generation after, you know, we arrived to Osho and we were just into feeling misfit in the world, and it was very different. But the world at large was somewhere else, was just into having more. And like I remember Italy, the people were finally making money and having better houses and having better things. And we were few of us were not interested in having better things. But now people are, you know, they have already a lot. And they are realizing that this a lot is not making them happy. And so some are really searching and looking around. And so, you know, could be that the work that I give can help them to expand more and more into love and more into presence.
Thank you for sharing that. Coming to your latest projects, what are you up to? What are you working at the moment?
So at the moment, I am looking at the translation of my book that is called The Magic of Life. I've been writing it in Italian because I am Italian, and it's been translated in Portuguese. So now somebody translated for me in English. I'm looking at it because it will be translated in Chinese also. And I am just expanding something around the energy work that I am doing. And I am expanding it through having some more people teaching it also. It's like I am feeling like that I would like to have more people having the possibility to teach this method. So, you know, with some of the old people, we are designing something so that, you know, there can be more and more people around the world doing this work. I'm doing it in Brazil, I'm doing it in China, and I'm doing it in Italy.
Wonderful. So where people can find you if they want to know more about your activities and perhaps are interested in, of course, in your book and your trainings as well? Do you have a website or Facebook page?
Yes, I have a website that is called www.oshoprana.org. And then there is the Facebook page, OPH, O.P.H.
Okay, and I'll link them both to the show notes. So if everyone is interested, they can find you there. Okay, so we're heading towards the end. I've got three final questions for you. So the first one is, what's your morning routine? How does your morning look like in the first couple of hours of your day?
So I usually do the five Tibetans that helps me with the physical body. And then I sit, sometimes I listen to Osho, and then some silence, sometimes I just sit in silence, and then I have my breakfast.
Okay, so the second question is, what's your favorite meditation and why?
I listen very often to Osho, and that is for me an incredible source of inspiration. One of the things that I really bring is presence in daily life. So very often I just bring awareness at the energy that is circulating within, and that brings me into presence. So that I do it very, very often during the day, remembering that. And then I enjoy Kundalini. I enjoy, as I said before, the Sufi chakra breathing. I enjoy a lot also doing gibberish. Sometimes when I feel like that there is the need for the mental body to be discharged, I use gibberish. That is a very beautiful meditation for me. And then after that, I sit in silence.
Okay, so the last question is, you live the Osho experiment. You were one of the pioneers in this movement of creating a new man, Zorba the Buddha. What does it mean to you personally to be with Osho today in 2018?
You know, sometimes I ask myself, you know, and I realize it's like on one side I am a devotee, and I feel he's everywhere. He's inside, and he's there when I teach. He's there when I walk. He's there right now. He's here right now. He's almost as is more and more. There is not an Osho outside. He's inside. And what he said, that he would have been in the heart of his disciple, is really the experience that is happening right now for me.
Okay, so on these beautiful notes, we can finish these episodes. So thank you so much, Upadi, for sharing your insight and your story with Osho with us. It's been a great, great pleasure to connect with you. And I send you lots of love and a big hug.
Thank you, Swaram. Thank you very much for the work you're doing. It's so touching and very beautiful. Also to have the opportunity to share all this. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much. Lots of love. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Love of Show podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. Visit loveofshow.com for new episodes, blogs, and much more.